Thank everybody for being here this morning, especially our visitors. Here are all our guests, and we'd like to thank you for being here this morning. I'm not Jeremiah Cox. I'm just filling in for him, so if you want to hear some good gospel preaching, come back next week and you'll hear that. I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Lamentation chapter 3 this morning. Lamentation chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 40 and 41 there in just a moment. I'd like to thank the member for allowing me to come back again and preach to you all. It is very encouraging to be able to put together a lesson to preach to Christians. And I hope that what I prepared was beneficial to you in your service to the Lord. Hopefully, as Christians, we have some goals and objectives in our lives. We have some things we want to accomplish. Immediately what comes to mind may be some career choices or choosing a spouse or where should I go to school or where should I go to church. We're making decisions to better our families. Lives. But the purpose of this lesson this morning is to let us consider some common goals we should strive to attain in our lives as Christians, as followers of Christ. Let's read Lamentation chapter 3, verses 40 and 41. Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. We lift our heart and hands toward God and heaven. Notice the phrase, let us. He uses it twice in verse 40, and he uses the word we in verse 41. When we are talking about doing things we want to accomplish, we can do a lot more with us collectively than we can do with me or you individually. If it's let us work together, let us search out, let us try to do things, we can accomplish more as a group than we can as individuals. With that being said, each one of us needs to be motivated to do what God's Word says. And the prophet by inspiration uses the phrase let us. And we want to look at that phrase and see how it is used in our Bible this morning. There are some things we need to strive to attain in our lives as Christians. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things we can strive to attain for. There's many reasons why I won't be able to discuss that this morning, but I've picked three things that we can need to strive to attain in our lives as Christians that I think is important. And the first one is, let us strive for maturity. You see, we cannot do this by ourselves. We need help. We need encouragement. We need the help of the Savior. There's a lot involved in striving for perfection. We are talking about becoming complete and mature as a Christian. And that's what we need to have as one of our goals, is to strive for maturity. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6, if you will, this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, we'll read verse 1 there in just a moment. The author of Hebrews uses the expression, let us, at least a dozen times within his book. And each time he's speaking of something that will help us make it to heaven. Each time he uses a phrase and employs the idea that has to do with our salvation. When the author uses the phrase, let us, he includes himself along with other saints. You see, what is required of one is required of all. You see, the expression carries the idea that something that we must do, but is not presented as an optional thing, something that is just a mere suggestion. Because each time the phrase, let us, is found, it has to do with either our personal devotion to Christ, our determination to go to heaven, and our diligent dedication to the gospel of Christ. And this is what the author has broken down for us. Listen to what he says there in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation dependent from dead works and of faith toward God. You notice that word there, maturity. In the Greek, it is translated teleotes, and it means perfectness, it means perfection, it means maturity. And that is in all aspects of our life. That is mentally, morally, and spiritually. So in other words, at some point in time, we need to leave the basic principles and go towards maturity, completeness in Christ. This implies that we need to always grow in our faith. It also implies that this is a process. He uses again the phrase, let us. It is easier to have the encouragement of our brethren in this regard. That is why we have assemblies, so that we can stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, as Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 tells us. But sometimes we'll have a problem with growing in our secular job or seeking a certain grade in school. But what about our spirituality? We need some encouragement in our spiritual matters. We cannot go on to perfection if we're not seeking to do those things. And that's exactly what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, this is a process. We're not baptized into Christ one day, and the next day we reach maturity. It is a step-by-step. We need to grow. A farmer doesn't plant a crop at night and wake up in the morning and is fully grown. It's step-by-step. We can never be satisfied where we are in our relationship with Christ. When it comes to maturity that the Bible speaks about, how do we obtain this perfection? How do we reach this maturity? How do we grow in regard to our faith? Stay in the book of Hebrews and turn to chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's read verse 1 there. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You notice the beginning of the chapter, verse 1 there, it says we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. What is he speaking of there? If you read in chapter 11, it talks about those heroes of faith, the hall of faith. And obviously those people are dead and they can't literally see what we are doing in our lives, but it serves as an example for us, the people who perform these different things of faith, to give us encouragement to go on and to reach what we can reach in our lives. And if we choose to grow to maturity, we need to lay aside sin and turn away from it and run with endurance the race that is set before all of us as children of God, looking to Jesus. How do we get rid of sin in our lives as children of God? We need to recognize that, first of all, we have sin in our life and pray to Jesus that he forgives us of those things. You see, a runner in a race doesn't want to carry anything that will hinder him in a run. And why would you want to carry anything in your life that will hinder you in your service to God? As a Christian, you are a runner as well. That's depicted quite often in the New Testament. But as a Christian, you're not in a sprint race. Rather, you're in a marathon. You're not a 100-yard dash, but a 26-mile marathon. Endurance is needed. Pacing is needed. The steady practice putting one foot in front of the other is needed. You may remember Winston Churchill in secular history, when he was speaking in the early stages of World War II. He's speaking to the people of England, and he says there, never give up. Never, never give up. The war could only be won by the endurance of the people. If we do not do that, how can we grow to maturity? We cannot be mature and perfect in Christ without God's grace. Stay in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Hebrew writer says, let us show gratitude. We show gratitude to God because of his grace, because of his love. It's only by his grace of God that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. The only way we can serve God acceptably after being baptized into his son's death is have forgiveness of sins is by his grace. Let's use a baseball analogy here. Eric can help me out. In baseball, you have three strikes and you're out. One strike, two strikes, three strikes. If God held us accountable to that, how many of us would make it? How many of us would reach perfection in our lives to Christ? How many of us would be complete? I'm reminded of the words of Psalm 130, verse 3. O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? It says in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with you. But because of God's grace is there, we can have forgiveness of sins. So we need to always be there. We need to always be seeking God's favor in regard to our lives. Turn over to the 1 John, the letter of John, 1 John, chapter 3. And if I'm going to strive for maturity as a Christian, then we need to have the proper type of love for others as well. 1 John, chapter 3, listen to what he says there in verse 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. It is not just what we say in expressing our love for others. I can say all day that I love this brother or sister and not do anything for them in need. If we seek to serve God acceptably, it cannot be in word or in tongue, but rather in deed and in truth. It has to be in our choices. It has to be in our actions. Remember the book of James said you have faith, but you have no works, and your faith is useless. We have to be showing these things. We have to be reaching for these things. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7. John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. But everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If we truly seek maturity, we must exemplify it by displaying love for our brethren, for one another. The Bible tells us to love one another, that God is love. You see, how can we love God who we cannot see, not love our brother who we can see? It doesn't work that way. If we love God, we need to love one another. They go hand in hand. If we will turn back over again to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, And let's read verse 16. To strive for maturity includes a lot of things that we discussed, and I will not be able to cover all of them, but another thing we have to recognize and grow into maturity to be complete in Christ is we have to be able to pray. We have to be able to communicate with God. Again, we have no problem with communicating with our friends, communicating on Facebook, communicating in email, getting a phone and calling everybody. How's your prayer life? If we neglect that great blessing of talking to God like talking to a complete stranger. Listen to the words there, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We already stated that we needed grace. Well, how do we attain that grace? We have to come to God in prayer. There are many things we have to do in order to grow to maturity in Christ, but we cannot do them if we don't come to His throne with confidence in prayer. If we desire to seek perfection, it cannot be done without boldly coming to His throne of grace in prayer. Point number two this morning. Let us strive to hold fast our confession. That should be another goal that we have in our life as Christians. And probably most of us here this morning have confessed Christ in our lives. We have been baptized into Christ, have become part of His body, He has added us to His church. But will you hold fast to your confession that you have made? We cannot waver. God doesn't want you to be wishy-washy, nor hot, nor cold, all on fire for Him one day, then out in left field somewhere the next day. He wants consistency in His children. Look at verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. You may remember when Jesus was speaking to the church there in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. That church there lost its dependence upon Him and they were not consistent. And He tells them there, so because you are lukewarm, either hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. What a terrifying and horrible picture of somebody who is not consistent and is not holding fast their confession to God. We have to be consistent because He who promised to us is consistent to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens as Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. He says, let's not waver. We have made the confession. We have made our commitment. We said our loyalty is going to be to the Lord. If we are truly going to follow Him all the days of our lives, then let us hold fast our confession. We need to be faithful in our confession because Jesus is faithful to us. If we do not seek to draw closer to Him, we'll just get further and further away. Look over at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Don't tell Jeremiah I'm using the book of Hebrews so much. You may not like that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us, again, notice that phrase, let us, draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. It is through holding fast our confession that we draw near to God, and by that you encourage me, and by that I encourage you. That's the whole purpose of us coming to church, to edify one another. The Lord wants us to think about other people. He wants us to think about our brethren, our brothers and sisters. We aren't concerned only with ourselves to make it into heaven. We also want them to make it to heaven as well. We want them to hold on to their confession of faith without wavering. We want to stir up our brethren so they too will be personally committed to Jesus Christ. If you're not thinking about helping someone else to heaven, you may not make it yourself. This is how we reach maturity, is through holding fast our confession. But any time we do not hold fast our confession, we would just slide right back down the hill and start all over again. We don't give up. We don't let go. We don't give ourselves the option of quitting. People who usually give themselves the option of quitting the Lord typically do quit. It is that way with almost anything in life. If something is low enough in the importance scale in your life that you can give yourself enough room to quit, that typically will happen. It is that way in a marriage. It is that way in a job, and it's most definitely that way in serving Jesus Christ. We deeply need to see how important it is to hold fast to our confession. Turn back again to Hebrews chapter 4. And in holding fast our confession, it requires some things. It requires zeal, it requires commitment, and enthusiasm in our service to God. And let's read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, let us fear if, while the promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may have seemed to come short of it. For indeed we had good news preached to us, just as they did also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. Skip down to verse 11. Therefore, let us be diligent. See, it requires something. You need to be doing something to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. The Hebrew writers talk about when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and all the problems they had. Not everyone got to enter the rest that was promised to them. Some of them came short. Well, why was that? They didn't continue to follow God. You see, they were faithful to their confession that they made. They did not remember the commitment they made to follow the Lord, and they went backward in regard to it. See, we need the proper diligence, and allow that diligence to motivate us to serve God. And think about this for a second. Think about the reward that He has promised us if we do hold fast to our confession. As we diligently seek to serve God in our daily lives, think about heaven, the spiritual rewards we will have. Think about eternal life, the paradise of God. Think about all those things that can motivate us to hold fast to our confession. And in talking about entering our rest in heaven, the writer says there, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. You see, a careless attitude won't do. No one winds up in heaven by accident. See, you won't make a wrong turn and suddenly find yourself in heaven, but plenty of people wind up in hell from making a wrong turn. You have to intend to go to heaven. Thus, diligence on our part is required for us to enter there. Let us fear that we may not enter into heaven. Allow that to motivate us to do these things. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, as he wrote to, as we have Christians here in the church at Stonewall. Paul is addressing Christians there. Notice what he said to them in Galatians chapter 6, and verse 9. Notice the phrase again, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially of those who are the household of faith. Paul here was reminding these people of what? He reminded them of their reward. Think about that. He says, do not lose heart. Every day you are growing closer and closer to God and the reward that He has promised you. How do we endure and hold fast to the end? He says, by not losing heart and doing what is good. Continue to do the things which are good. Continue to do the things which are of Christ. That is defined as what is good. Do the things which are in your Bible. That is how we endure. That is how we hold fast to our confession. Turn to Psalm 96. One thing that amazes me is that some people want to get to maturity in Christ where God will be pleased with them in their lives. And they think that they can do all those things, and they don't think they have to come to worship to do those things. How are you going to strive for maturity? How are you going to hold fast to your confession if you neglect our assembly? If you don't consider worshiping God, which is an opportunity for you to take advantage of every time the doors are open, how can you grow in regard to your spirituality if you're not here every time the doors are open? Notice what the psalmist says here in Psalm 96 and verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Isn't that what we do when we come here? We sing praises to His name. We bless His name and we go to Him in prayer. We proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. What are these good tidings? It's the good news. It's the gospel. To know that you are a sinner, but you can be saved from your sins. Verse 4. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Do you think we have gods in our lives today besides the true and living God? Maybe hobbies? Maybe the TV set, maybe the computer, maybe your cell phone. Listen to what he says there. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. We cannot hold fast our confession to God and Christ, His Son, if we do not worship Him. That is something that we don't need to get involved in, is neglecting something like that. We see it as an opportunity to offer our worship to God. We want to praise Him. We want to sing to Him. We want to hear those good tidings proclaimed. We desire those things in our life. If we truly desire those things, if we will hold fast our confession, we will reach maturity. We need to truly recognize the importance of those things in our lives. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 is a passage that is very common. It's in a song that we sing. And Isaiah was given the strict task of warning these people of Israel against the coming judgment, against the coming captivity. And notice what the prophet says there in verse 18. He wrote down for us. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be like white like wool. If we can hold fast our confession, if we come to God and allow Him to take care of our sins, we acknowledge that God is the only one that we have to come to. We have no one else to go to that can properly take care of our sin. We need to come to God, and that's how the prophet stated long ago. And the same thing applies to us today. So we need to hold fast our confession and strive to allow God to take care of our sin. We recognize it in our lives. We are all going to sin. We won't be perfect, an absolute sense of perfection, but we can reach maturity where God will be pleased and we are making the right choices and decisions in our life. We are striving to do His will, which the Scriptures are giving to us. And the last point this morning, let us return to the Lord. Sometimes we need to return to the Lord. Sometimes in our lives we are not as faithful as we should be. And realizing this, maybe this gives us an opportunity to return to Him. Make some things right with the Lord. Turn to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. And let's listen to another prophet as he is pleading with the people of Israel there. Hosea chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before Him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord is going forth as certain as the dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain, watering the earth. Hosea is saying what here? He's saying, come back to yourselves. Think of the things you should be doing in your lives. You're about to go in this captivity, but you can avoid that. You need to return to Me. And notice there at the end of verse 3, He says, He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. What does that have to do with anything? You think about the climate there in Palestine in Bible time. It was very arid. And the land would have been dry and parched and brown because there were 6 months of rain. None. From May to October, didn't rain. And Hosea is telling these people, if you return to the Lord, it'll be like the rain watering the earth. That would have been something really refreshing. And that signifies the blessings that are coming from the Lord if you try to make yourself right with Him. What if you have not been faithful to the Lord? Then let us return to Him. Well, you might say, how do I do that? The first thing is we have to realize that God does not tolerate sin. We've already mentioned that. Sin is something that we have to lay aside and get rid of. And the Lord is the one who helps us to do that. Turn back again to the New Testament, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, begin reading in verse 12. And notice what Paul says there. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. That is a reference there to sin. Paul continues to say, but put on the armor of light. Remember what Jesus says there in John chapter 8 and verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Paul here is speaking to Christians. This letter is addressed to the church at Rome. Pick up in verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. We lay aside sin by giving it to the Lord. We cannot get rid of it by ourselves. You see, we have to come to the Lord asking Him for forgiveness. We have to truly repent and put away sin, turning from the deeds of darkness and entering into His marvelous light. And in doing this, I'm trying to establish that I am at peace with God. Look there at Romans chapter 14 and look at verse 19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace in the building up of one another. If I'm going to make peace with God, what do I have to do first to take care of? I have to allow God through His grace to take care of my sins. I have to humble myself to the point where I'm willing to come to Him. I want to strive for peace with God and my fellow man. Then I need to humbly lay aside my pride to obtain His grace. Let us always pursue the things which make for peace by striving to attain those things. So we must lay aside darkness and pursue peace. We lay aside sin and pursue God and His righteousness. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Notice what Paul here is telling these people in Galatians. And he tells us in regard to our lives, if we are going to return to the Lord, how we are to live and how we are to walk in our daily life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25 begin. If we live by the Spirit, again, notice the phrase, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. How do I show that I'm living and walking in the Spirit? I have to produce the fruit of the Spirit that he's talked about previously in verses 22 through 23 of Galatians chapter 25, Galatians chapter 5. I need those things in my life. I need the joy. I need the love. I need peace. I need patience. I need goodness, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things we have to have in our lives. We have to bear fruit for the Lord. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And by doing those things, we will be pleasing to God. But I also want to be doing something else in my life, too. I want to strive to be alert to the things that Satan will try to deceive us with, to try to get us involved in, to get us entangled in regard to sin. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read verses 6 through 8. In order to be aware of those things, we have to be alert. We have to be awake. We have to be sober. And that's what Paul was kind of talking about here in his letter to the Christians at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do. Let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep, they're sleeping at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love as a hope, the helmet of salvation. Those things we have to have in our life if we are walking and living in the Spirit, we have to be alert. Why? Remember what Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8? It says, be sober, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Do not be like those who are asleep in the darkness, but put on their breastplate of faith, love, and a helmet of salvation, which is our hope. When you look at the football players, they put on these helmets. They put on shoulder pads. Baseball players put on helmets. And the catchers put all these pads on. Why do they do these things? For protection. To be alert. To protect themselves from being hurt. And that's what Paul is telling us. We put on these things to keep us from the devices of the devil. Paul says, let us watch and be sober. The last scripture this morning, but I think can be used after every sermon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Solomon states, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments. And this applies to every person. Now remember Solomon, he wanted to acquire wisdom. He wanted to acquire all this earthly knowledge. And when he did this, he realized that vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He says that this is the conclusion that Solomon came to after much experience in the world. And that's what really mattered, was to fear God and to keep His commandments. Is that what you are doing in your life? If you are truly fearing God and keeping His commandments, you're striving for maturity, holding fast to your confession. See, if you're not doing those things, then you are living in sin. You need to turn back to the Lord. If you're not careful, we can become proud and puffed up and not turn back to Him, then it will be too late. It takes humility of heart and mind in order to turn back to the Lord. In conclusion this morning, I thank you for listening. When you think about these things we have discussed in our lesson this morning, what are you striving for? What are you going to start striving for with each day the Lord generously gives you breath to walk upon His earth? What are you currently striving for? You need to ask yourself the question, do I really want to go to heaven? Do I really want to go to heaven? It's not one of those kind of sort of questions. Do I really want to go to heaven? There must be a burning and powerful longing for eternity with God, like Abraham had there in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 20. And thinking about Abraham, what happened to Abraham? He was 150 years old, his wife was 99, and he wanted a son. He pleaded with God for a son, and he tells him, you will have a son, and Sarah laughs. That's exactly what Isaac means. It means laughter. So he gets this son. What does God tell Abraham to do? God says, take your son, go sacrifice him. Abraham saddles his donkey and takes two of his servants and Isaac with him, and they're preparing this burnt offering. Isaac asks his father, where's the lamb? Abraham says, God will provide. He puts Abraham down, ties him up, and takes up his knife and is about to slaughter his son. And the angel of the Lord tells him to stop. Is that fair? That Abraham had to do that to show his faith? Is it fair that Jesus had to come to earth to be laughed at, to be spat upon, to be beaten, to be crucified, have a crown of thorns driven to his head for us? Is that fair? Is it God asking too much of us to do these things we've talked about in our sermon this morning? Are you seeking to be perfected? Are you seeking to be mature in Christ? Or are you seeking just to get by? Hit and miss on the church of Laodicea there in Revelation. Satisfied with being lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. You see, the Lord can't depend on you. That is your attitude. Or are you someone who is wholly committed to Jesus? Are you wanting faster your confession? Is that what you have a term to do in your life? How do you go about becoming stronger in your life to Christ? Think about that. We'll talk about that this morning. And maybe the answer is, if you're holding fast your confession, is no, I've not been holding fast, which I confessed to Jesus before I'm baptized into him. Maybe that is your answer. Well, are you willing to return to him? Through his son, Jesus Christ, God offers a destiny that's so far beyond comprehension that this world offers us. We can't compare it to anything here. And how can we have anything less than a powerful personal commitment to serve our Lord Jesus Christ? How can we help but to love him? How can we help but to hold fast to our hope without wavering? He who promises faithful, as Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 states. And I'm convinced that this morning there is no better time to make yourself right with God. Remember what Paul says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Maybe you are not a Christian. Why don't you start making your life right with God today? Why don't you come forward and confess Jesus, be baptized, ready to walk in newness of life, and remain faithful all the days of your life, and you will reach the reward. Or if you've already done those things, and you have fallen off the path and realized that you need to return to God this morning, why don't you do that? Come forward and confess those things right after the prayer for the congregation. We are willing to help you. Whatever your situation may be, if you need to render obedience to the gospel, I'd ask that you come as you stand and sing for your